This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's 12:03, Thursday afternoon, August 29th. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us on the Noon Business Hour. I'm Rob Hart. The market for sports cards and other collectibles, it remains hot. We'll take a closer look in our next segment. But right now, revised GDP numbers for the second quarter are out today, along with the latest reports on pending home sales and jobless claims. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Gus Fauché, Chief Economist, PNC Financial Services in Pittsburgh. Gus, thank you for joining us today. And that second look at second quarter GDP shows that economic growth was a little bit stronger in the second quarter of this year. And what were some of the factors driving that revision?
The big factor was an upward revision to growth in consumer spending. So consumer spending makes up about 2/3 of the U.S. economy. Consumers are still in pretty good shape with job gains, with wages rising higher than faster than inflation. And so as long as consumers continue to spend, then the economy will continue to expand.
How does that change the calculus, though, for analysts and some of these predictions about the economy slowing down just based on a little bit of weakness, relative weakness, I should say, in the job market?
That's right. We do expect to see slower economic growth in the second half of 2024 and then the first part of 2025. We are seeing a bit softer job growth. We are seeing wage gains. They're still positive. They're still running ahead of inflation, just not quite as strong as they were a year or two ago. So consumer spending growth is going to slow, but we're not going to see a contraction in consumer spending. And given that, we expect that the expansion will continue throughout the rest of this year and then throughout 2025 as well.
We're talking about the day in data with Gus Fauché, Chief Economist, PNC Financial Services in Pittsburgh. Pending home sales dropping 5.5% to an all-time low in July. Mortgage rates are falling, but that did not get people off the sidelines, it appears.
That's right. Mortgage rates are down a little bit, but they're still elevated from where they were a few years ago. And then house prices continue to rise. So we've seen house prices up more than 5% over the past year. And inventories are still pretty tight. If you have a mortgage at 3 or 3.5%, you're not going to want to move, even if that mortgage rate is down to 6.5% or so. So until we see mortgage rates fall further, and I do think they will, we're still going to have, kind of a tight housing market, and we're going to see some weakness in both home sales, but also housing starts.
Now, one factor the report shows in this lack of activity in the month of July is uncertainty over the election. Now, I bought a house, Gus, in 2016, another election year, and I can tell you that that year's election did not factor into our decision-making whatsoever. But is that really a factor for some people?
I'm a little skeptical about that. I think that if you want to buy a house, you're going to buy a house. It doesn't make any difference what happens in the election or who the president is. I think that there's just, you know, some affordability issues out there after all the dislocations we've gone through since the pandemic. But I do think that rates will be moving lower over the next year, and that's going to lead to an easing in the housing market, more inventory on the market, slower price growth, and much better affordability.
And then very quickly, Gus, it is Thursday. That means it is a jobless claims day. And once again, the weekly jobless claims data is doing an awful lot to calm some fears that people may have had about the employment market just based on last month's jobs report.
That's right. We continue to see unemployment insurance claims fall. They were up in the early part of the summer. It could be that that's just a seasonal issue. We saw a similar pattern last year, but it looks like layoffs are still very low. Hiring has slowed somewhat, but still a good, solid job market out there that bodes well for the rest of 2024.
Gus Fauché, Chief Economist, PNC Financial Services in Pittsburgh. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up, an update on what's hot and what's not in sports collectibles.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The sports card and collectible industry continues its growth as a major business. Let's check in with Stephen Fischler, CEO of ComicConnect.com and Metropolis Comics, the world's largest dealer and auction house for vintage comic books and sports collectibles in New York. Stephen, thank you for joining us today. And I'm going to date myself just by talking about when I was 10 years old, and the place I would buy the bulk of my baseball cards was at the video store that was three blocks away from my home. And it'll take about 20 minutes to explain what the video store was to people who did not grow up with one. But that's where I got my baseball cards. And now we're at a point where it seems like baseball cards not only are it's a thriving business, it could also be worth a lot of money to some of the athletes as well.
Well, absolutely. You look at even outside of baseball, you look at a player like a Michael Jordan, and you go, it's a once-in-a-generation athlete, or maybe twice-in-a-generation. And people like that don't come along very often. And it really creates a frenzy in the collectible market. A baseball player, as an example, as like Otani, is very unique in terms of his skill set, very unique in terms of his international appeal. And companies don't want to be on the outside looking in and going, oh, if we knew Michael Jordan way back and we would have locked on to him and we would have sort of been successful for a decade or two decades or three decades on the popularity of a Michael Jordan, Ohtani is that type of player. And I know the recent Topps deal sort of cashes in on his incredible skill, his incredible popularity, and sort of looking forward to the next decade or two decades. You have an incredibly marketable player, and the cards of Ohtani are going to be very, very hot. And I think Topps realizes that, and that's the reason for this exclusive deal.
Who is the average baseball card consumer? Because tell the story from when I was a kid, you're 10 years old, you love baseball, you buy baseball cards, and you get a pack, and it's always like, oh, here's Steve Balboni, here's Don Sutton, and just over and over and over again. Is it still the case today? Is it still that young baseball fan? Or is it the collector thinking they're going to hold on to this stuff, knowing it's going to be valuable in 20 years?
I think a lot of the people who buy and sell baseball cards, they look at it like a commodity. There are people, like in the old days, that are collectors. But I think a lot of people today look at it as a way to not have to have a day job, so to speak, but they can make money buying and selling sports collectibles. They look at a superstar and they go, what's the way that I could participate? What's the way that I could cash in on this incredible talent? And I think they look at the card, either the general set, a top set, or maybe an exclusive card. And there's buying and selling day in, day out, hour in, hour out, just like you would a stock, just like you would, you know, any other sort of alternative asset. People who buy cards are investors, they're collectors, they're speculators, and there's a lot of them. So you're talking about a worldwide market, and it really focuses on the rectangle piece of cardboard with the player on it, but it represents a lot more. It's the closest thing that the average consumer is going to be able to possess that is connected to a superstar player, a LeBron James, a Michael Jordan, and that creates the interest in the card. And there we have 2024. Baseball cards, sports cards, basketball cards are a commodity. It's not just a collectible like it was back in, you know, the 60s, 70s, and 80s.
Stephen Fischler, CEO of ComicConnect.com and Metropolis Comics in New York. Thank you for joining us today on the Noon Business Hour.
Money talks as the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Home ownership is often viewed as a key component of the American dream. Let's discuss getting started on the road to that first house with Brian Wickard, president and owner of Accudent Mortgage in Waukesha, Wisconsin. Brian, thank you for joining us today. And what is the traditional definition of a starter home?
I'm glad you asked me that, because I actually had to scour the internet to figure that out. And the answer is homes priced between 5% and the 35th percentile of all homes. So in the Chicago metro area, the top end of the starter home market would be $257,000 American dollars.
Now, does that mean, given the run-up in real estate value in the last 4 years, that the starter home, at least the traditional definition of the starter home, is obsolete?
Well, I wouldn't say it's obsolete, but it keeps creeping up. You know, just as an example, in that same nine-county metro Chicago area, the median price is up 8%. So, yeah, that starter home number keeps going up. And just another interesting tidbit of information, it would take about $84,000 of gross household income to afford the monthly payment on that, comfortably afford the monthly payment on that $257,000 starter home.
Now, with home prices, especially on the lower end, even in the $300,000 or $400,000 range, if you do manage to get that as your first home, what does that mean for you going down the road? Are you more or less likely to upgrade once the time comes?
Well, my favorite advice for first-time home buyers is that if we can put together numbers where instead of buying the two-bedroom condo as your first purchase, can you buy a three-bedroom, you know, detached home? Because maybe that gets you a little farther down the road for when you have two kids. And then you don't have to do that two-step process, which is costly, right? If you buy a starter home, then now you're going to sell and buy a new home. You've got what economists call economic friction, right? Cost of selling and buying again. So my favorite advice for first-time buyers is can we help you comfortably and reasonably stretch so that maybe this home will last you for 10 or 15 years instead of just 3 to 5?
Conversely, if you bought that traditional starter home before the pandemic, let's say 2017, 2018, and then refinanced into a 2% mortgage in 2020 or 2021,
yeah.
Are you walking into a real estate showing for that upgrade like the Monopoly Man? Because you're sitting on top of a lot of equity.
You know, fortunately for guys like me, Rob, there are many, many families who end up deciding, yeah, I don't care if I have a 2.5% mortgage, I need more room. And so the laws of demographics and, you know, family expansion, people just say, hey, I have no other choice. We have people that do that every day. I have to upgrade to a bigger home. Why? Because my family is growing.
Brian Wickard, owner and president, Accudent Mortgage, Waukesha, Wisconsin. Thank you for joining us today.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey.
This is Chicago's news, traffic, and weather station, News Radio 105.9. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon, I'm Rob Hart. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. The city of Chicago projects a nearly $1 billion budget shortfall. We're learning more about the gunman who opened fire at a Trump rally in Pennsylvania last month. In Technology Thursday, the decision whether to turn to a pro or undertake a do-it-yourself project to preserve your family memories, and we'll talk about the decision to skip college in favor of a career in the skilled trades. WBBM Business, the markets are higher and moving up. The Dow of 422 points. The NASDAQ is up 169. The S&P 500 is up 43. We have 79 degrees right now in Chicago. It's 1231, topping our news at the half hour. The Johnson administration releasing its financial estimates for 2025. This is City Budget Director Annette Guzman.
For the 2025 budget projection, we are currently forecasting a gap of $982 million, which is what we pretty much forecasted last year for 2025 as well.
Mayor Johnson has not yet announced any proposals to alleviate the massive shortfall. The FBI says the man who tried to assassinate former President Trump was not politically motivated. The latest from CBS's Scott McFarlane in Washington.
Investigators say the 20-year-old wasn't a right-wing or left-wing ideologue, but had been searching the web to strike a major event, seeking information on the schedules of Trump, President Biden, and the two national presidential conventions.
He looked at any number of events or targets. The Trump rally was announced early in July. He became hyper-focused on that specific event and looked at it as a target of opportunity.
Countering conspiracy theories, the FBI says its investigations continue to indicate there was no second shooter and no foreign entity involved.
The gunman, 20-year-old Thomas Crooks, was killed by the Secret Service moments after opening fire. It's 12:32 as the noon business hour continues. Markets are higher. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Jeff Kilberg, founder and CEO of KKM Financial in Chicago. Jeff, thank you for joining us today. And of course, the big market mover yesterday afternoon after the close of the trading day, after the bell, was NVIDIA reporting its second quarter results. And it seems like the takeaway that I can get from analysts yesterday afternoon into today is that the second quarter results for NVIDIA were spectacular, but not splendiferous. And that makes some investors wary.
I think the expectations for NVIDIA has become unrealistic, Rob. And I think you're looking at a company that's still growing revenue at 122%, but the street has expectations that this AI darling is never going to stop. And I think for the first time we saw margins go down a little bit, only to 75%, but that seemingly wasn't enough. You saw some profit taking. Let's remember and rewind this stock, this AR, artificial intelligence darling, which makes all the chips that power all the future for all these different companies, we are talking about them just moving up 250% in 2023, up another 150%. This is a $3 trillion market cap company. This is just remarkable to see one of the biggest companies in the world trade this way. So yes, I think it makes all sense in the world. It is off 4% today. It's still trading at 120. This is a name we want to continue with. But what I actually like today, Rob, and we've talked about this here on WBBM, BBM is that we are seeing a broadening out. We're seeing blue chip names like the Dow Jones up 400 points. So we're seeing a variety of different participation, the upside, as we're looking to close out the month of August, much better than the way we started the month of August with all that volatility.
What's driving the rally today? Is it NVIDIA? Is it the GDP revisions, second quarter with the economy a little bit stronger than we thought? Or is it, once again, a very strong report on first-time unemployment benefits that shows that maybe the employment market is a little more robust and on a little more solid footing than we saw a month ago?
I think the largest input is NVIDIA due to the fact that it's closing out earnings season. Earnings season, once again, was better than expected. We're seeing companies continue to profit. We are seeing pockets of distress, but nonetheless, the consumer strength is still there. That coupled, Rob, with us anticipating the interest rate cutting campaign kicking off in September. We're not sure if the Fed's going to go with a big 50 basis points. I personally think they're only going to cut it 25 basis points, but there's going to be consecutive cuts of interest rates. That is kind of the wind in the sail. That is allowing us to continue to move. We're not walking away from potential volatility as this election season, this presidential election season, will brew more volatility, but I am cautiously optimistic as we go into the end of the year.
This a lot of this market run up that we've witnessed over the past year or so is underpinned on the productivity gains and the economic gains and growth we will see from AI. Now, how specific are these bets? Because we saw this 25 years ago. Everybody knew the web was going to be transformative, but it didn't unfold in the way people thought circa 2000. But the prediction eventually did come true. It just took maybe 10 or 15 years to arrive there.
That's right. I think it never does work out exactly how some of these economists forecast, but artificial intelligence is going to change your life. Autonomous driving is coming. So a lot of these components we have to embrace and find a way to get exposure. SMH is an ETF. SOXX is also a semiconductor ETF. But I think it's also important to have some broader exposure, not just to tech, not just to the tech darlings, but look at names like Oracle. We look at also names like Eli Lilly, which has had a tremendous year as it's trying to resolve a lot of obesity issues. But I think there's also names like Costco, 3M. Berkshire Hathaway just joined the $1 trillion club. There's other names that you have to have diverse exposure because this AI theme, this tech darling move higher, you will see profit taking. People are going to be forced to profit taking as we kind of go into year end.
Jeff Kilberg, founder and CEO of KKM Financial in Chicago. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up next in Technology Thursday, making sure your family memories don't simply fade away.
The only program dedicated to currency events. You're listening to the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
You may be thinking about the boxes of old photos, VHS tapes, and home movies in the basement, garage, or attic, and how you can convert them into digital form. Let's get some direction from Shelley Palmer, CEO of the Palmer Group, professor of advanced media in residence at the Newhouse School of Public Communications at Syracuse University. Shelley, thank you for joining us today. And making the conversion from analog to digital is an issue that everybody faces. Families face it. Yeah. Corporations face it. I mean, right now, Shelley, I'm in the middle of a project for the 100th anniversary of the radio station. Signed on in February of 1924. We're having a big on-air acknowledgement later this year. But it also involves going into the archives and getting a bunch of reel-to-reel audio tapes and cassettes and digitizing. And that's a very time-consuming process. And that's before you go into your attic and just see your old photo albums and thinking, how are we going to put this into the cloud and make sure it lasts forever?
So it's really interesting, Rob, because everyone that I know is facing this issue right now. And there are a couple different approaches, and I can't endorse any particular product, but I'm going to tell you about some strategies that I put to use myself and that my friends have variously put to use, and this may help people figure out what they want to do. You can get a service, and there are many online, very reputable ones, and you just should check, you know, Yelp and Social Proof to choose the one you want, that will, for somewhere between 75 cents and $2 per photo, digitize and clean up your photos. Now, that sounds like a lot. It really does. There are some services that will take photos that are, you know how you, like in the old days, you take like three photos of the same people standing in the same exact place and hope that everybody was looking and smiling at the same time? Well, if you have to spend time figuring that out, you'll go crazy. But a lot of the services offer
the deduplication of that by just choosing the best photo out of the five photos of the same group. And this is seemingly really expensive, like a buck a photo. I have 1,000 photos. This is terrifying. If you have more time than money, and I mean a lot of time, you might be able to buy a piece of equipment that would let you shoot these photos or scan these photos. I'm telling you now, nobody I know has actually done that. They bought the gear, they set it up, they did four photos and went, oh my God, this is too time consuming. I can't take it.
Yeah,
A lot of the modern services do face recognition too, and will actually tag the photos for you. And this is where you will never be able to do as good a job as the services that are being offered now.
It really is, you know, well, what is your personal preference? I know in the case of my parents, during the COVID shutdowns, there was nowhere to go and nothing to do. They digitized a lot of pictures and they were sending them around in various family group chats, and they were fun to see. There's also a service in Chicago, a couple of them, that not only will they digitize like your old VHS tapes, they'll get your old film. If you had Super 8 film from way back. Back when this service, and this was over a dozen years ago, they would digitize it and put it on a DVD for you. And it was kind of fun to watch grandparents get married back in the 40s.
Oh, yeah. No, there are plenty of services that will do it. The question is, do you want to buy the kit and do it yourself, buy the gear and do it yourself, or do you want to pay someone to do it? And I'm telling you now, you want to pay someone to do it. Truthfully, one of the most cathartic things you'll ever do is go through the old photo albums and pick just the photos that you want. Write a little story about each one. I think that this process is particularly good for people to do. I know that in our own family, it was spectacular going through the old photo albums. But when it comes down to digitizing them, also the newer services do use AI to clean the photos up. You can even, if you were crazy enough to want to do it, let them colorize the photos. And believe it or not, there are many services and many apps right now that will let you take a still photo and make it into like a little GIF or video that would, you know, have some movement in it. These are all personal preferences. The technology is here. You can do it. One thing I will tell everybody, every day you wait, every single day you wait to digitize a photograph is one more day it's going to get more faded and less likely to have the information in there you really want it to have when you digitize it. Unless you are doing archival print paper, which most people didn't do, the photos have a shelf life, and some of these photos are 20, 30, 40, 50 years old. Some are much older. You can see how they're fading. You wait at your own peril, but it's probably time to sift through the old photos. And for audio and video, same thing, your old VHSs. Oh, one quick thing. You want them up converted to 4K, because if you just convert your old VHSs or your old DVDs before HD, they're going to look awful when you put them on your modern big screen, high resolution television.
Shelley Palmer, CEO of the Palmer Group, professor of advanced media in residence at the Newhouse School of Public Communications at Syracuse University. Thank you for joining us today.
Because money matters. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
The soaring cost of a college education is prompting some young people and their families to examine the alternatives. Let's discuss some of the other options with Rick Cobb, founder of the workplace consulting firm 2Discern in Chicago. Rick, thank you for joining us today. And the skilled trade are a very attractive alternative if you if the cost of college just simply is one that you're not willing to bear right now, or just don't want to. You hear all the horror stories about people being trapped in student debt and things like that, and you say to yourself, maybe I can be an electrician, or maybe I can be a mechanic, or maybe I can be a building engineer, and that can be a very lucrative way to make a living.
Absolutely. And a third part of this also, there's an expectation that you go to college in order to be successful. But if you don't know why you're going to college, the likelihood of you being successful, one, at college, and two, in the so-called chosen profession, goes down significantly. You may not be ready to go to college. Maybe it's a maturity issue. Meanwhile, the trades are going to have a 22x multiple in terms of need, because it's not just that there's a lot of need for people in the trades. It's the fact that the people that currently are capable of doing that work are retiring, or, you know, sadly, some of them are just passing away. There's fewer and fewer people who have the skill sets that we need.
And on top of that, I mean, we talk about this as a traditionally quote-unquote blue-collar enterprise, but I think thanks to computers running practically everything these days, it's an IT job as well as just a Mr. Fix-It job.
Sure, it really is. This alternative energy is still in its beginnings of boom. We are going to need more and more electricity for everything. Our cars are going to run on electricity. AI is an incredibly voracious consumer of electricity. Appliances, you know, if you want to get your locks changed, if you want to have your washing machine put in or get a new one in or repaired, these are all things that need to be done, and very few of us have the skills or even the interest in trying to figure out how to do that.
Now, if you decide to pursue a career in the skilled trades, where's the first place you go? I mean, obviously, if you're not going to college, you still have to go to maybe a technical school or receive some sort of professional certification or go through an apprenticeship program. So what's usually step one on this path?
Well, there's the traditional, so the unions certainly are the gatekeepers for the larger technical skills, the plumbers and electricians, et cetera, carpenters. But I think getting your experience outside of that, there are a lot of places, there are very large appliance companies. I know from talking to the people that do that work, that people that do appliance installation, when you have your whole kitchen redone, they're not really necessarily looking for somebody other than somebody who's able to, willing to do the work and take the time and has some relative competence with tools. There's no real program that you start. You work there and you learn that skill and you get better at it. You start out as an assistant or an apprentice, even without going to a technical school. There's tons of technical schools out there as well. But it's about saying, this is what I'm interested in doing. Who does this work? And going in and getting involved in that. There's also plenty of associations and groups that are interested in those specific areas, HVAC, you name it, cybersecurity, and just going to those conferences and understanding more about it and finding out what your path is.
Rick Cobb of the workplace consulting firm 2Discern in Chicago.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.